the first expedition by a fluke, and I'm here as mission director because I campaigned for it. He tried to sleep, but he could not. Is this what the rest of them think of me? Are they just tolerating me because I was on the first expedition, or because I'm older than any of them? Then he heard the woman giggle. Dex shushed her. Jamie tried not to listen, turned on his bunk, and covered his head with a slim plastic pillow. Silence for a while. Then a soft moan, almost a sob. Jamie squeezed his eyes shut, tried to will himself to deafness. She moaned again, louder. It went on for what seemed like an hour. Jamie could not tell for certain who was in there with Dex, but the woman sounded to him like Vijay. It took several days before he could look her in the eye again, before he could look at any of them without wondering what was going through their minds. And he could not look at Trumbull at all, until the evening when he and Dex flared into open conflict. Fuchida and Hall were giving a seminar to the rest of the scientists about the latest findings from Earth. Everyone was crowded on the benches that lined the one long table of the galley. The display screens along the curving bulkhead showed photomicrographs of the Martian lichen samples that had been returned to Earth by the first expedition. "We knew before we took off," Trudy Hall was saying, standing at the head of the table, "that the Martian lichen are remarkably like terrestrial lichen in several ways, but decidedly unlike in others. Like terrestrial lichen, they are colonies of algoids and fungoids living together in a symbiotic relationship that..." "Without benefit of marriage?" Trumbull cracked. Unfazed, Hall replied, "They reproduce asexually." "That's no fun."
"How do you know if you haven't tried it?"
Jamie leaned his forearms on the table and said softly, "Let's get back on the subject, please." Hall nodded and resumed.
"The most interesting thing is that their nuclear material contains double-stranded molecules that are remarkably like our own DNA. Their genetic programming," Fuchida took over, getting to his feet to stand beside Hall, "appears to be very similar to our genetic code."
Pointing to a computer graphic representation of a twining double helix, Fuchida said,
"Their genes are composed of 4 base units, just as our own are."
Jamie thought Fuchida's voice was trembling slightly, excitement that he was trying to suppress.
"You mean we're related to them?"
Shekhdar asked, wide-eyed awe in her tone.
"Not necessarily," answered Fuchida, raising one hand slightly. "Their base units are not the same composition as ours. We have adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine. The Martian base units are remarkably similar in function, but of different composition chemically. No formal names have been assigned to them as yet. They are known simply as Mars 1, Mars 2, Mars 3, and..."
"Let me guess," Trumbull interrupted. "Mars 4? Fuchida made a miniaturized bow.
"Yes, Mars 4.
"Well, now that's almost poetic," muttered Possum Craig. As Fuchida and Hall took turns showing how the Martian DNA worked, Jamie's mind began to wander. Same system for passing genetic information from one generation to another, but different chemical structure. Are we related? Could Earth's life have originated on Mars? Or vice versa? The others were already arguing the same point, he realized.
"Had to be Mars to Earth," Craig was insisting stubbornly. "Couldn't be the other way round."
"Why not?"
Shekhdar demanded.
"Gravity," Trumbull answered. "It's a lot easier to blast a chunk of Mars rock loose and have it meander to Earth than it is to blast off a hunk of Earth and get it to Mars."
"And Mars is much closer to the asteroid belt," piped up Rodriguez from the foot of the table. "It gets hit by meteoroids a lot more often than Earth does."
"Yes, of course," Hall said.
"Meteoroid strikes blast chunks of Martian rock into space," Rodriguez went on doggedly. "Some of the rocks drift close enough to Earth for our gravity well to capture them and pull them down to the ground."
They delved into a free-for-all about the chances that Mars life and Earth life were somehow related. Jamie listened with only half his attention, wondering about the links between Earth's life and Mars. He forgot about Dex and his snide wisecracks, forgot about his worries of what the others thought of him. In his mind's eye, he saw the cliff-dwelling in Mars's Grand Canyon, and others like it scattered throughout the southwestern desert. He felt in his heart that there was a relationship. There had to be. Two worlds close enough to be brothers, and both of them bearing life, they had to be related. At some time, in some way, life seeded both the red world and the blue. How long ago? How did it come to pass? That's what we're here to discover, his rational mind answered.
We'd have to protect all the natural species, of course, Trumbull was saying, assuming there's more than one species to be protected.
Jamie snapped his full attention to their discussion. That's rather far-fetched, Hall said, don't you think?
Not more far-fetched than finding life on the planet, said Trumbull, leaning back on the bench until his shoulders rested against the curving bulkhead.
Shekhtar was staring at him.
Do you really believe that we could alter the environment of the entire planet?
Make it so Earth-like that people could walk out on the surface without suits?
Rodriguez looked clearly disbelieving.
Why not? Trumbull replied easily. There's plenty of water in the permafrost. Heat it up, pump it out, and we can warm up the atmosphere. Use siderophile bacteria. Sow the atmosphere with blue-green algae, and they'll soak up the carbon dioxide in the air and give us a breathable oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere.
In 100,000 years or so, Hall said.
Don't be a flathead, Trumbull snapped. We've done studies that show you can do it in a century or two.
Jamie saw the crooked, self-confident grin on Trumbull's face and remembered his sneering, what's he ever contributed to the field of geology?
And what happens to the native life forms? He asked quietly.
They'll have to be protected, like I said.
Assuming you can do all that, Craig asked, how are you going to pay for it?
Trumbull's cocky grin widened.
That's the beauty of it. The project pays for itself.
How?
Colonization.
Colonization, several voices echoed.
Sure, why not? They've got tourists taking flights to that orbital hotel, don't they? And Moonbase is setting up facilities for retirees. Why not colonize Mars?
Very expensive, don't you think? Said Dejurova.
Jamie felt something like red-hot lava beginning to churn in his guts.
Trumbull nonchalantly laced his fingers behind his head as he replied, Look, you guys ought to get with the program. There are plenty of people right now who'd pay for a trip to Mars.
So it costs $10 million per person. What's that to the CEO of Masterson Aerospace or the head of Yamagata Heavy Industries? Or to some video star? And the price will come down as we establish facilities here on Mars for refueling and growing food.
So you can build permanent colonies on Mars, Rodriguez muttered.
Sure, Dex repeated. Why the hell not?
Good Lord, Hall murmured.
The big corporations will lead the way, Trumbull went on. And the tourism industry will jump in with both feet. Vacation on Mars. See the Grand Canyon. Climb the tallest mountain in the solar system.
Why not ski down it? Dejurova muttered.
We could make snow, sure.
But tourists don't stay.
Yeah, but that'll be just the beginning, Dex replied with growing enthusiasm. We'll have to build facilities for the tourists, right? That'll be the start of permanent colonies, let me tell you.
No, said Jamie. Trumbull turned slowly to face him, the crooked grin still on his handsome face.
I didn't think you'd go for it.
Mars is not going to be turned into a tourist site or a colony.
Wanna bet?
I think it's utter nonsense, Hall said with a huff.
So'd your grandfather think about going into orbit for a honeymoon, Trumbull shot back. But people are doing it now, aren't they?
What you are talking about, said Dejurova, transforming the entire planet, that is called terraforming, correct?
Terraforming, right, Trumbull nodded.
Trying to control the anger seething within him, Jamie said, You want to change the entire planet. Make it just like Earth.
That's the basic idea. Then it'll be a lot safer for visitors. Then we can build permanent settlements on Mars, build cities, colonies.
Just like the Europeans did to the Americas, Jamie said.
Trumbull laughed out loud. I knew it'd torque you. Cultural bias and all that.
And you'll put the lichen on a reservation where the visitors can come and stare at them.
Trumbull's grin did not fade a centimeter. Hey, don't get so stoked. It's the wave of the future, pal. And the thing is, you've done more than anybody here to make it possible.
I have?
Sure, said Trumbull. You're the guy who pushed the first expedition to the Grand Canyon, aren't you?